Carrie Mills appearing pro se here today. Thank you for allowing the opportunity to oral argument this case. I'm requesting 6 minutes of my time be reserved for rebuttal. Initially, I'd like to address
2 o'clock in front of you.
Yes, sir. Two preparatory topics. First, the 28-1654, which allows for a person to plead personally, and just that wanted this court to know that my appearance here today is in no way meant to be dishonor the legal system or any member of the court, including the court. It's just a matter of economics. I currently owe $60,000 to a lawyer already in past proceedings, and it's just afforded to the point that I can't go any further economically.
It would be helpful to me if you would explain how exactly what your injury is at this point. And my understanding is that no one has told you you can't use this road, and you're using the road.
Well, that's actually incorrect. I was told on numerous occasions that I couldn't. That was part of me trying to introduce that evidence under the discovery procedure in bringing that forward. One of the persons that was a high-ranking official at the time, Mr. Jackson with the BLM, we had a meeting out on the right-of-way itself, and I was told that I could not use that from him, by him, until this matter was settled in court. There was also a hearing.
But isn't it, my understanding is that it's, at this point, a freely accessible road.
Yes, ma'am. It's a mining road. The current mining, unpatented federal claim mining uses that road, runs his equipment up it. I drove my pickup of it. It's very accessible.
So what's your beef?
Well, my beef is that the BLM does not recognize it. A, B, they've told me that I can't use it to access my mining claims. And see, the federal mining claim owner is denying me access across it.
Well, that's a different issue. But with regard to the road and the BLM, the record seems to suggest that it's just a road that's sitting there and for anybody to use it wants to use it. And you're saying it's not true, but there's nothing in the record to disprove it?
Well, there is a portion of them in the record that's there. The BLM notified the state, which grants me my APMA, and told the state that there is a question whether my access is valid, and so the state of Alaska rescinded my APMA for a period of time. They have since then actually...
But does that have to do with driving down the road, or it has to do with using the land that you wanted to use?
Well, no, it's just the legal access, going from the legal access to Taylor Highway, proceeding through the mining claims to where my mining claims. It's there's a property ownership that is
That's large. A different issue, but maybe I need a picture. But I thought, what is the name of the road that we're discussing?
40 Mile Station Eagle
Trail. Right, that 40 Mile Station road is not just an open road that you can drive on?
Yes, ma'am. It is something that you can drive on, but
so
it's all...
Do they have a, like, you have to go through a checkpoint and then... They look at your identification and say, oh, we have a notice that you're not allowed on this road?
No, ma'am, there's not a checkpoint. The current mining claim owner has a gate, or to be frank, it's just a hose that's stretched across the road to bar people from going through.
And so does he check your identification and say you're not permitted, or you just got notice you're not permitted, or what is it that's restricting you?
Well, the restriction is that he puts the gate up there, if you will, uh-huh. and says that it's private property, you can't go across it.
So he's not letting anyone onto that road across his property?
Well, his position is that he doesn't let anyone go across it. I have asked, that was one part of my initial, was that to ask permission to use the right-of-way by the BLM, that I was told to do that. And I did do that. He gave me permission initially, and that's how my estate mining claims were actually able to be staked.
So there's a right-of-way that is currently, somebody is claiming is private, and that is not open to the public, and that's the right-of-way you want to use.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. That's the one that's listed in Alaska statute. It's part of the Wamsutt line that was actually back in 1907, I believe, when Teddy Roosevelt actually enacted it.
And you asked the state of Alaska if they wanted to join you in arguing that that's a public road, and they declined. Is that correct?
They declined basically on the point, is my understanding from the conversations, they declined simply on the fact that the road is not used by enough number of people, and they chose to then sue over the road in the chicken area, that's currently before the district court, that road is partly connected, and the 40-mile river is what separates them two. It's one in the same road, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's called different. It's named different in the statutes, but it is actually one part of that Wamsutta line.
You can't use that road?
No, sir. It's not achievable to get there. It's just this particular mining road is available basically for the same months that they maintain the Taylor Highway from May through September. That's the only time it's maintained, and so after that, you're on your own. This road that I want to use would be available at that same point in time, and it allows for summertime access, where other roads are basically only wintertime access. You have to do it in the winter.
So the federal government, which owns the property, is permitting this private individual to shut off the road.
He is not just a private individual. He's the unpatented mining claim owner.
Okay.
What there is there is in it's kind of in a layered. First, there is the right-of-way that's mm-hmm. there. Then the mining claim owner claimed his claims after that. And then, at the same time, the BLM transferred that land over to the Hungwichen Corporation.
You have about 3.5 minutes.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Robert Stockman, here on behalf of the United States. With me at counsel's table is Jamie Linksweiler, who represents Doyon Unlimited. I intend to speak for 6 minutes or less and to leave the remaining 4 minutes to Mr. Linksweiler. We ask this court to affirm the district court's dismissal of Mills' complaint. I'm going to aim to touch on 3 points. First, the QTA bars Mills' suit against the federal government. Second, Mills lacks standing to bring these claims.
Just as to the second, which is the one that I had raised before. My understanding is that is premised on the fact that he hasn't alleged that there's any problem in his using the road. Now he's saying that there is a problem. So what's the point?
I think it's important to look at what's in the record in this case, Your Honor. And there were assertions that he couldn't use the road. But the crucial thing is that's not supported by the record. I mean, the hose, for example, I've never heard of prior to now. The crucial thing is that the closest he came to saying the BLM ever said you can't use this road is low-level employee Jackson allegedly said something along those lines. But after that point, BLM went through its process and the IBLA issued a decision that, among other things, says we're not deciding whether there's an RS-2477. If there is, you can use it. If there isn't, that's a different issue, but we're not taking any position. So the last statement from the agency says nothing about not using the road, just doesn't take any position. And to my knowledge, the federal government hasn't done anything actively to in any way interfere with the usage of the road. And so that's our position, is there's no disputed title under the QTA, and there's also no injury under Article 3, because the federal government hasn't taken any action to interfere with the use of the road.
It could be that somebody else is taking that action, i.e. the private landowner.
It may be, but one, I don't think that's developed or that's not established by the record evidence. And this has been, I mean, the district court gave ample opportunity to amend the complaint. Sua sponte granted a third opportunity to amend the complaint. So it's not supported by the record. And second, that wouldn't be a basis for an action against the federal government if a private landowner is doing something, particularly because if this RS-2477 does exist and if there's a public right-of-way, the state of Alaska could always take some action if it thought it was necessary to keep this.
Here's another question. First of all, we have these two Schultz cases, which seem to assume the existence of did assume the existence of a QTA action under what seemed to be exactly parallel circumstances. Is that not true?
I would disagree for two reasons, though there's a touch of truth that. First, there was the government actually asserting some interest. The government took an action. It had erected a gate. It was
required. Well, that has to do with the standing question, but I'm asking about your other QTA point, which is that he doesn't have any QTA
And then the second opinion was withdrawn by this court.
No. Well, it was withdrawn, but the second opinion is still resting on the same assumption.
Well, it's a five-sentence opinion that specifically doesn't address any jurisdictional issues and declines
to do
so.
And the first one doesn't either, but in both instances, they reached the merits of the claim.
It's long been acknowledged that cases in which jurisdiction is presumed.
I understand that.
It's not
I
good precedent, Your Honor.
I understand. It's not precedent, but it is true that this occurred. So I'm asking you then, the mystery to me here, and the reason why it might have been assumed there, is what is there about the statutory scheme, the underlying, that means that this belongs to the state of California? The statute says something really vague, like the public shall have access, right?
It says the right-of-way for a public highway which is constructed is granted. But an entity has to then create
right.
it
so
and take
what,
it.
So but it doesn't have to be the state of Alaska. It could be, who knows, right?
It could
has
be to
a county, it could be, I'm sorry?
It has to be a political subdivision. To my knowledge, no court has said that a private individual has title in an RS-2477.
Is there any law about that? I just don't know. I mean, maybe not a private individual, but the public in some abstract sense without having to have an actual owner?
To my knowledge, there are a handful of state cases in which people have brought actions like that, but it's never been a title interest. And this is something every federal court to analyze this, and numerous circuits and several district courts have acknowledged that the difference is the Quiet Title Act provides a limited right of action about title, about property interests. And this, the kind of interest that a handful of people have managed to bring is not a property interest that could be pursued under the Quiet Title Act, even if there might be some remedy in state court, which is broader.
But for example, the state of Alaska was asked whether it wanted to assert an interest. Could the county assert an interest? Could the town assert an interest?
Not in this case, because the property interest would be owned by the state of Alaska.
Why? I'm not challenging you. I just would like to know.
My understanding is there's just no county that would have been accepting the title in this circumstance because of the history. I mean, these cases are very complex. They depend a lot on the history. There are some locations in which a county does take title. But in this particular circumstance, my knowledge is there's no other entity that could have done so in this circumstance. But I think it bears emphasis that none of the potential property owners here have a dispute. Alaska very specifically chose not to participate in this case, and it didn't say for any particular reason, said because it weighed the costs and benefits and decided it didn't make sense for it to pursue these claims.
You have 4 minutes left.
So I would like to leave the rest to Mr. Linksweiler, but if there are any further questions. Thank you, Your Honors.
If it pleases the court, I'm Jamie Linksweiler. I'm here on behalf of Doyon. With me at council table is Josh Van Gorkum with my law firm. Doyon is an Alaska Native Regional Corporation for the interior portion of Alaska, created under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. It was conveyed land. It has 18,000 shareholders under ANCSA. It appreciates the opportunity to address the court on the issues of this case. The primary issue of interest to Doyon is the standing issue, and the court has been asking questions of the United States about it. Doyon would like to make very clear that it agrees with the holding of the lower court. It believes that Mr. Mills does not have standing to raise this claim in this case. In our briefs, we discussed in some substantial detail
that. Did the district court say there wasn't standing, or the district court said that there was no Quiet Title Act?
They said both. They said that there is no prudential standing. As it relates to Doyon, the Quiet Title Action doesn't apply because the Federal Quiet Title Action only applies to the United States. The way that you get a consistent result in this case is through the prudential standing issue. The Tenth Circuit has recently held in Wilderness Society versus Kane County, a case that we discussed in detail in our briefs, the prudential standing issue. We agree with that holding. We think that holding should be applied in this case. That would terminate this litigation in a manner that would lead to a consistent result. In this case, as in many cases in Alaska involving Native corporations and RS-2477s, the RS-2477 crosses both federal and Native land in alternating sections. This is a pretty good example of that. It goes back and forth four or five times. The only way you can get to a consistent result is through the prudential standing issue. The Quiet Title Act issue doesn't really help Doyon because it doesn't apply to us.
So here, because appellant is only raising Alaska's rights to this road, is that why there's not prudential standing? Is that your view?
Yes, that's exactly the point that we're making here. This is a right that belongs to the state of Alaska. To answer Judge Berzon's question earlier, there is no local government here. This is in what we in Alaska call the unorganized borough. There's no borough there. And so the only government that can assume ownership of this right-of-way is the state
of Alaska. No county?
No county. We have boroughs in the state of Alaska, not counties, and we only have boroughs where they are organized. This is what we call the unorganized borough. It is an area without a local government.
That's different from disorganized boroughs.
That's different from disorganized.
So are you aware of any cases where someone, as appellant is doing as a private attorney general, or raising some more generalized claim of the public's right to this road? Have you seen any cases like that?
No, I'm aware of no case. We have read extensive case law on this subject. The law is developing, of course, but we've never, from the very beginning, seen cases like that.
Okay, thank you.
I want to call attention of the court to a couple of items in passing. The Kaywood case was decided by the state Supreme Court just 11 months ago or 10 months ago in November of last year. In Kaywood, the state Supreme Court called this a state-owned interest in land and discussed the state's management authority over these rights away. If this is a valid RS-2477 right-of-way, it is owned by the state and it's managed by the state. The state has talked about its discretion to bring this litigation if it chooses to do so in the letter that it sent to the court. It talked about undertaking a review of the public need for this and other easements in the 40-mile area. That is what Doyon would like to see happen.
Thank you.
Oh, am I out of time, Mitch?
We'll hear from Mr. Mills again. I think you have about 3.5 minutes left.
Addressing the quiet title issue, specifically, the lower court did find, as the plaintiffs have alleged, and I'm on page, docket 175, page 15, says the plaintiff has alleged more than general declaration against the United States regarding whether or not 40 Mile Station Trail, the RS-2477 road. In regarding the issue of that specifically, the quiet title, I'm not claiming an ownership in the right-of-way. What I'm claiming is an interest. I have an interest in, and they're real interests. I have the mining claims that are adjacent to the right-of-way. And so the only legal way for me to go from point A, being the Taylor Highway, which is a legal access, public access, to my mining claims, is using the 40-mile Station Eagle Trail.
That's a need. That's not an interest.
Well,
interest is something that's legally protected. You have a need to get there, but you don't have an interest.
Well, the way I'm understanding the interest that it refers to under the Quiet Title Act is an interest in the sense that there is a specific interest in land. I hold the mining claims on the land, and that allows me that interest. That gives me that unique situation or unique over than just the general public.
So that sounds similar to an easement by necessity, but I don't know. I don't think you raised that in your briefs, and I'm not sure whether Alaska has that sort of claim.
Well, they have an easement by necessity. It's not raised there. Pardon me?
That's something you raised in the state law.
Yeah. Well, I addressed it in the sense that I asked the court to consider the state law. The state law, in fact, in 19.30.400, found that this right-of-way is in fact a valid right-of-way. The problem is when you go back now to that 1996 ruling and the congressional action that took away the authority from the BLM to make any determinations. That's where the, so to speak, the rubber meets the road. BLM can't make any determinations. So therefore, they can't say yes or no, it is a right-of-way. Only then, that's what the court, the BLM has said, only the court can make that determination at this point in time.
Why isn't this something for the state court to decide? Is this a dispute between you and the Alaskan landowners? It seems to me that's this is a question for the state courts.
Ultimately, the title of the land still is held in the BLM under the United States. So that's where it goes to federal court. The attorney that I had hired said, well, let's sue in the state court. And I said, okay, well, yeah, that might be an advantage. But the problem still is that the federal government is not bound by state court decisions.
So if they say they're not stopping you and it's just the patent owner who's stopping you, that seems more like a dispute between you and the patent owner.
Well, I understand that they say that, but that's just not true.
That wasn't your experience.
That's just not true. What has happened is that the Scott Woods, the current mining claim owner, federal mining claim owner, is using the BLM. He initiated an investigation because I started to do some work out there. He initiated an investigation using the BLM, claiming that I was trespassing on him. They, in fact, went out in October and started investigating it. I had a hearing in October with them, or a meeting with them. They had 10 people or more at that meeting, and all of that evidence has disappeared from the file. There's no record of that meeting, nothing that I could bring to this court.
This is outside the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Cassius, how you will stand submitted.